Joshua 1 and from verse 10. We'll read verse 10 and 11 again. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord God giveth you to possess it." Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is united in the Lord. United in the Lord. The men whom the Lord has used to accomplish great things in his kingdom have not always been men of natural strength and ability and confidence. Peter had to have his self-confidence knocked out of him by the sanctifying process of the Lord. But the Lord sometimes uses those who are by natural disposition timid and fearful, such as possibly Timothy was, Timothy in Scripture, and certainly John Calvin, for example, in Geneva. Leadership responsibility can seem attractive from the outside, but takes on a different aspect when someone is actually called to exercise it. Whether Joshua had some special need of reassurance, it is probably impossible to know. But he certainly was given repeated assurances of the Lord's help and blessing. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." And then verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So the Lord gave him repeated assurances and commanded him not to be afraid, like the angel at the tomb of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection said to the women, "Fear not ye," a command to believe God and therefore not to be afraid. But now Joshua actually takes command. He actually takes command. First of all then, a prepared leader. A prepared leader. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying. Joshua issues a command. His appointment did not come all of a sudden without background, preparation, learning and track record. We first hear of him in Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17, when Israel fought with the Amalekites. And in chapter 17, it's really verse 8 on to the end. But we'll read verse 12 and 13. "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." This Joshua's first battle, when Israel prevailed against Amalek only when Aaron and Hur held up the arms, the hands of Moses. The Lord could have given them victory over Amalek without Moses' hands being lifted up. Of course he could. We are not to have some superstitious notion as if Moses' hands being lifted up had some magical power. But the Lord appointed it this way in order to teach dependence upon him. And Joshua especially was to learn this lesson, not as a theory, but in practice. So verse 14 of that chapter, Exodus 17, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So Joshua especially was to remember this lesson in practice, in experience of dependence upon the Lord. And then we find him acting as Moses' minister, Moses' assistant, in Exodus 24, for example, in verse 13. "And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God." And it seems that Joshua went part way and then waited for Moses. And all the time Moses was in the mount. And then in chapter 32 and verse 15, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing upon the right was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp." And of course it was the whole business of the golden calf and the judgment of God that fell afterwards. So he had these formative experiences as he saw in battle how the Lord was teaching dependence upon him. As Moses' minister, he saw what faithfulness could require. Then he was one of the spies in Numbers 13 and 14. And you remember that only Caleb and Joshua brought a good report in Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 7 and 8. Reading from verse 6, "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." And also he has been appointed earlier, as we read in Numbers 27. We'll just read verse 22. "And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." And that call is now confirmed, now that they are on the verge of the land and Moses is dead. Even at the end of Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So we have all this background and this track record of faithfulness and of experience in following the Lord. And now the Lord encourages him and confirms him as the leader of the people, and as a prophet, he speaks directly to him. Joshua was no novice by the time he came to command Israel. He had experience, not merely of life, but of the life of faith, and of the trials of faith, and of the demands on faith in particular situations, as well as a close observation of Moses' example, Moses, the man of God. Secondly, exemplary faith. In verse 11, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. No doubt the Lord had revealed that he would bring them across Jordan in his own appointed way. No doubt this had been revealed to Joshua. And therefore, with confidence in the power of the Lord, he commands the people to prepare for entry into the promised land. These instructions would seem somewhat absurd to the unbelieving, that they would all go across Jordan. But the Lord, who had brought Israel through the Red Sea, could certainly bring Israel through Jordan also. And Joshua's instructions were according to the faith. It was according to faith in the word of God, that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And his confidence encouraged the people to believe the word of the Lord and to trust the word of the Lord. If he had been half-hearted, it would hardly have been surprising if the people were discouraged. But he manifested, by this command, his confidence in the Lord and in his word. Thirdly, unity in the body. Unity in the body. Verse 12 to 15. We'll read verse 12 and 13 for the moment. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. He appeals to God's word. This is fundamental to true unity and to leading so as to unite the people of God. Those who believe God's word are united when that word is appealed to. And Joshua is appealing to the word of the Lord. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 20. After the 2.5 tribes have asked for an inheritance east of Jordan, verse 20, Numbers 32, and Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, Then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for you for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, Thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. So Joshua is appealing to the word of the Lord through Moses. And that was fundamental to true unity among the people. He's saying, this is what the Lord said to Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He insists on united submission to the word of the Lord. So in verse 14 of our chapter, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. He insists on submission to that word. He insists on brotherly love. The 2.5 tribes were not simply to settle in their own inheritance and forget about the rest of the people. They were one body, and he insists that they care for the rest of the body. He insists also that they keep their word. Back in Numbers 32, verse 25, we read just now, and the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. So he insists that they submit to God's word. He insists that they keep their promise to follow that word, and they were to do it heartily. They are told to pass over before their brethren. In verse 14, second half, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. That doesn't mean that they had to be at the front, but what it means is that they would take their allotted place in the army of the Lord, not dragging behind as if they were really saying, well, this, you know, this isn't really our fight, and we don't want to get too involved in this because we've got our land, and okay, we're trying to help out where we can, but it's not really our concern. They were to be fully part of the army of the Lord and fully engaged in the battle. Even though they had their inheritance, they were to fight as fully and as heartily on behalf of their brethren as they would on their own account. Fourthly, acceptance of God's appointed leadership. Acceptance of God's appointed leadership. In verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. They don't claim here that they were perfect followers of Moses, or that their fathers were perfect in accepting Moses as the Lord's servant. That would, of course, have been nonsense. There were many sins and much unbelief. But they do promise to heed the Lord through Joshua with the same attentiveness as they had through Moses, that they will accord to Joshua his place as the Lord's servant, the man of God, that they had given to Moses before him. And they are so stirred to united purpose that they themselves seek to encourage Joshua, and they seek the Lord's blessing on Joshua. Verse 17, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And at the end, only be strong and of a good courage. So they desire the Lord's blessing upon Joshua and urge him to confidence in the Lord, to embrace those promises which the Lord had given to Joshua just earlier on in the chapter. We see then that the unity of the body of Christ is expressed when the head, that is Christ himself, is acknowledged, and all accept their place in the body under him and his word. So in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And in 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. In the time of Joshua, the Lord appointed Joshua to lead the people. He upheld the word of God, and the people, so far as they embraced that word, were united in the Lord. May the Lord grant to us much of this blessed unity. Amen.